This podfic contains adult material of a sexual and graphic nature. Listener discretion is advised, and be mindful of the tags. Feel free to hop out of the back seat if that's not your thing. Dean won't hold it against you. More than likely, he or Sam or some other SBN character or any number of character combinations will be too busy holding other things against others to give it a second thought. If you've buckled up and are ready for the drive, please check your Bluetooth connections and/or plug in those headphones before the engine starts. By proceeding, you understand that idling in the Impala is not responsible for any embarrassment, cringe, or adverse consequences that may occur as a result of the listener failing to conduct these checks. Midnight Espresso by Zeppelin Skies. Rating is mature. No archive warnings apply. Category is female male. Fandom is supernatural. Relationships: Dean Winchester, you, Dean Winchester reader, Dean Winchester and Sam Winchester and you, Dean Winchester and Sam Winchester. Characters: Sam Winchester, reader, Dean Winchester. Additional tags: smut, fluff and smut, mutual pining, body insecurity, ass appreciation, supernatural shenanigans, mild language, bad bitch o'clock, thick 30, plus size reader, Latina reader, POC reader, free form. And this is part one of the Midnight Espresso verse. Summary: you've never taken Dean's flirting seriously until he asks you for an impromptu Spanish lesson. Dean Winchester times plus-sized Latina reader. When you spot the caller ID on your buzzing cell phone, you have to smile. You answer the call. "Well, if it isn't Dean, I need a favor, Winchester," you tease. You hear his genuine chuckle, deep and smooth in your car speakers.
"Hey, sweetheart."
He hesitates, which makes your lips curve wryly. "Yeah, Dean? What you got?"
"I need a favor."
You sigh dramatically. So fucking predictable.
"Sorry, but look, we really do need you. We've got a situation."
"Oh, a situation. How specific?" You chuckle.
"All right, smartass,"
he says, but you can hear the amusement in his voice.
"Just listen."
When he tells you the lowdown on the case he and Sam are on, you have to change directions, all the way to a dusty little town in the south of Texas. There you find the brothers Winchester outside La Cantina Libre. You greet Sam first, stretching up to meet his hug. He's friendly and warm when he rubs your back.
"Good to see you,"
he says. "You too, lumberjack," you reply, noting the new layer of scruff he's sporting on his face. Sam gives a dry chuckle and rubs his bearded chin.
"I keep telling him to shave that ferret off his face,"
Dean remarks. You turn to him with a grin just as he pulls you in next. "Aw, he looks good," you say, giving Sam an encouraging look behind Dean's back. The taller Winchester sports a good-natured smile. But you revel a bit in Dean's warmth when he holds you tight, then let out a little breath when he pulls away, grasping your arms.
"So do you,"
he says with a wink. You roll your eyes and playfully hit his shoulder. "Right, 8 hours of cross-country grime really becomes me." But you can't help blushing a little at his smirk. "Always a fucking flirt." You turn your head to the bar in front of you. "What's the deal with this place?"
"The husband of one of the victims is inside,"
Sam explains. According to the police report, his wife returned home from a night out with her friends 3 days ago. She sat down in the middle of the living room, on the ground. She couldn't speak. She couldn't eat. When Hector Rivera brought his wife to the hospital, neither fluids or medication helped her sleep or retain any nutrients. The official cause of death was starvation and dehydration. It was a baffling case, both for the doctors and the police, who never found any criminal evidence to support a murder investigation. "Okay, have you talked to Hector?" you ask.
Dean raises his brows at you. That's where you come in. He says, the guy only speaks Spanish. Neither me or Sam got the chops to Duolingo our way through. You can certainly believe that of Dean, but you still make sure to tease Sam on your way inside the bar. He'd studied Latin in high school, but hadn't bothered to take Spanish? Definitely a white boy move. You tease, which Sam accepts with a chuckle. But you realize that the guys really would have been at a loss here. Most of the bar patrons are Spanish-speaking Latinos. You are a mere stone's throw from the border of Mexico, after all. You ask around for Hector and find him at the end of the bar, drinking alone. He's early 40s at most, dark hair, tan skin mere shades lighter than yours. He has 3 shots down in front of him, and he's working on picking up his 4th. Sam and Dean trail after you as you slide into the stool next to Hector. Señor Rivera. You greet him in your native tongue and pull out your fabricated police badge. Good evening. He glances at you, then your badge with furrowed brows.
What do you want?
He asks in Spanish, just a hint, slurring. I'm very sorry about your wife. I know you've already given your statement, but we're looking further into the circumstances surrounding Nina's death. You explain. He perks up at that, his brown eyes briefly lighting with something other than cold, hard grief. The doctors couldn't explain it. He admits. They couldn't do a damn thing. I just don't understand. He glares down at his hands, at the glass of liquor between them. He fights to control himself, but you can see it's a losing battle. You rest a gentle hand on his arm, and when Hector meets your eyes, you know he'll find genuine sympathy. I want to help you, you tell him. At the very least, I can look for a real explanation on what happened to Nina. Can you tell me what you know? A moment later, he pats your hand on his arm, and he tells you. Dean watches from his spot behind you while he and Sam blend in, each drinking a beer. Dean admires how easily you connect with people, how genuine you are in wanting to help them. He knows you spent years in this job, maybe not as long as him, but long enough to get jaded. You aren't, and you care. Dean thinks it's part of the reason why you always answer when he calls. You've never said no to him, always been there when he and Sam need you. And that, he somehow feels guilty about. Because what the fuck has he really ever done for you, other than put you in danger? Dean. Sam says, nudging his side. It brings Dean back to the present when he sees you're getting up from the bar. Despite his inner conflict, he can't help but notice the curve of your ample ass in those tight jeans. An enticing ratio of thick thighs to smaller waist and generous cup size to match. But when you turn around, it's your sad smile that grabs his attention. You draw near, and Dean forces himself to stay relaxed when your warm hand rests on his forearm. It's a familiar, comfortable thing for you to be touchy. You're an expressive person, always talking with your hands, full body animated when you tell stories. Sometimes you'll grab his wrist playfully or brush your hand along his back when you pass by. Or you'll grab his shoulder to steady yourself and lean into him when you've had too much to drink. Dean likes it, all of it. In fact, he finds it endearing as hell. But it's also a problem, a unique kind of torture to keep himself in check around you. Frankly, he doesn't think you know what your touch does to him. In fact, he knows you don't, because while you've got your smooth, tan hand on his arm, you're more looking at Sam when you say, I think I know what this is. El Sombrerón. You repeat yourself as you flip through a book on South American lore. Shouldn't you be an expert on this already? Dean teases as you rifle through the pages. I thought Latin American legends were right up your alley. The three of you are back at their delightfully crap motel of the week. You and Sam sit at the 2-seater table while Dean leans against the wall with his arms crossed. You shoot him a wry glance. I'm Cuban, not Guatemalan. Though apparently, El Sombrerón appears in Mexican mythology as well. Hector said that the night his wife went to the bar with her friend Janine saw a man with a black jacket and a hat to match. She said he flirted with Nina, a sweet but introverted soul. She turned him down, of course, but he tried to cajole her, tucking a strand of hair behind her ear and touch her cheek. That's when Janine stepped in and cursed the guy out, threatening to break his nose if he didn't back off. They didn't see him again that night, but you suspect the damage had been done the moment he touched her. All right, so he's a boogeyman of sorts, Sam says, gesturing at the vivid illustration in the book he's holding. You peer over at the page and nod. Yeah, I've heard the cautionary tale. A man dressed in black, wide-brimmed hat, like Zorro, Dean supplies. You give him an amused grin. No, not like Zorro, you reply. Instead of being a fine-ass caped crusader with a voice deep and gritty as sin, El Sombrerón likes to lure women into the woods. Dean raises a brow at your description.
Deep and gritty as sin, huh?
But you continue. Specifically, he's got a fetish for long hair, you recount. Here it says El Sombrerón's voice and touch are a curse, rendering his victims unable to eat or sleep. Eventually, they die. That falls between you all like hot lead, until Sam voices the question you're all thinking.
So, how do we find him? For the record, I'm against this fucking idea,
Dean mutters to his brother. Once again, they're patrons of La Cantina Libre, each nursing a beer.
Yeah, you've made that known a few times now,
Sam replies in a low whisper.
She'll be okay, Dean. We're right here for her.
They're just on standby, watching you ignore flirtations from men with a coy smile. You leave a delicate ring of red lipstick on your straw while you nurse a tequila sunrise. Dean subtly, to Sam, not so subtly, watches you. His elbow rests on the counter, chin in hand, hand over mouth, while his eyes roam down your simple black dress. Your ankles are crossed beneath the bar counter. The toe of your platform heel bouncing against the rail beneath is the only thing telling Dean that you're a bit nervous. You've let your hair down on purpose, trying to entice the Zorro monster with the smooth waves running down your back. On any other night, Dean might have enjoyed this place. He has a good beer in hand. There's some live music tonight in the form of a man playing a shiny silver guitar, crooning into the mic. You turn your head to watch for a moment, and Dean sees the way your gaze sharpens on the musician. The man wears a black dress shirt, rolled up to the elbows, tucked neatly into his dark wash jeans. His black hair is long and a little wild, almost brushing his shoulders. While he holds out a smooth note, he looks up and finds your gaze. His lips curve on a smile. Your face heats up at the attention, but you find yourself captivated by those eyes. They're intense, almost black under the stage lights. And as the musician's song comes to a close, you feel a trill of something run down your spine when he sets down his silver guitar. Then he makes his way toward you. He settles into the free seat next to you and orders two tequila shots. I have a drink, thanks, you say. The man only smiles.
You've been holding on to that sunrise for 2 hours,
he says.
I just thought you might like something stronger before the sun actually comes up.
Inside, you want to roll your eyes at the cheesy line. Instead, you tuck a strand of hair behind your ear, and his gaze is drawn to the motion. You notice it with mounting suspicion. Maybe I do, you reply. What's your name?
Miguel,
he says, offering a charming smile.
And yours, amor?
You consider him with flirtatious eyes and a tilt of your head. You're fairly certain you have your target. You lay a hand on his arm, over his jacket. You lean in close enough to whisper in his ear. Do you really need my name? You ask in Spanish. Miguel smirks when you lean back. He offers you his hand to help you off of your stool. Wary of actually touching his skin to yours, you try your best to be graceful and sensuous as you slide out of your seat and onto your heels without his help.
You then walk out of the bar through the back without waiting for him to follow you, hoping that he does. Your instincts are right, however. When you make it out of the bar, Miguel is indeed closing in behind you. You glance over your shoulder, offering a coy smile. But when you look ahead, you have to utter a gasp. Miguel is suddenly there to grab you and pull you in by your waist.
When will your friends be joining us?
He asks, trailing a finger down your cheek. It makes you shudder, but you pretend to be confused. Friends?
Dumb and dumber, watching you like a hawk.
He says, raising a brow.
Oh, mi amor. I know a pack of hunters when I see them.
Sam and Dean watch the musician run back for his guitar, slipping it carefully in its case before he takes off after you.
Get the guitar. Got a feeling about that thing.
Dean says to Sam,
I'll follow him.
The moment Dean walks out the back of the bar, he stops short and draws his gun. His body tenses and his face falls into a glare when he sees Miguel holding you close and against your will. But Miguel catches sight of Dean. He forcefully turns you around and wraps an arm across your chest, pulling you back as you struggle.
Good evening.
Miguel greets with a smirk. He nods at the full moon.
Beautiful night for a lover's serenade.
His voice alone is a threat, Dean knows. And by the way your eyes widen, so do you.
Shut the fuck up, Mike.
Dean snarks.
Mind if I call you Mike?
He raises his gun, but Miguel tisks at him. You grit your teeth as he pulls your hair back away from your cheek. His breath is hot and unpleasant in your ear, causing you to shudder.
I do wish we had more time, Amor.
He says, trailing a hand down your ass and thigh.
I like to play with my food.
A hot lance of anger runs through Dean, but it runs even hotter through you, igniting your temper and making your patience run right the fuck out. You snap your head back and catch Miguel in the nose. He wrenches back with a pained cry. You try to ignore the resulting ache in your head and reach for the silver knife in your thigh holster beneath your dress. But Miguel grabs you by the hair. Suddenly his face has become grotesque, revealing its true form with a mouth filled with sharp, needle-like teeth. You gasp as a trill of magic runs through your body from his touch. It paralyzes you as he wrenches your neck back and prepares to bite a chunk right out of your neck. But Dean shoots a warning shot by the creature's head, all too close to yours as he approaches. Hey, Sam calls out. He attracts everyone's attention, even Miguel's. Sam holds the silver guitar.
This is what you use to play Pied Piper, right?
Sam asks. Miguel's face hardens, but before he can do anything about it, Sam smashes the guitar to smithereens on the gravel road. Miguel lets out an outraged hiss. While he's distracted, Dean takes another shot that hits the creature in the shoulder. It gives you the opening you need to grab your knife and stab him in the leg. Miguel cries out in pain, but before you can scramble away, he grabs your face. His sharpened nails bite into your skin, making you wince. You manage to kick out his knee. It forces him to release you, unless he wants to eat the ground hard. Sam is there to catch you while Dean closes in. He shoots. The creature evades, grabbing Dean's wrist and punching him across the face. The hunter goes down to the gravel with hands held out to brace himself. But he has a large knife on his belt that he retrieves next, only to be knocked out of his hand when Miguel bears on him. He throws off Sam's attempt to pull him off Dean, throwing him hard against the dumpster in the alley. While Dean grapples barehanded with the monster, trying his best to evade gnashing teeth in his face, you find his discarded knife and bury it deep into Miguel's back. He howls with pain and tries to throw you off. He manages to backhand you in the face and shove you away. You nearly roll an ankle on the small rocks rolling under your heels, and you end up on your back with the wind knocked out of you. But Dean's able to kick Miguel off and finish what you started. Dean pins the man on the ground and twists the knife deeper. And he doesn't let go until the creature below him stops twitching. Dean takes in deep breaths to account for the way adrenaline has set his blood pumping. He still sits on the ground with the body next to him, But then, he finds you kneeling next to him in your now dusty dress. Your eyes are worried when you grasp his shoulder and lay another hand lightly on his scuffed knee. Dean reaches for you on reflex, grabbing your arm. Both of you manage to ask your burning questions at the same time.
You okay?
Are you all right? You crack first with a giggle. Dean quirks a grin and thumbs at your cheek.
Yeah, all good,
he says. Your relieved smile reaches your eyes, and it warms him. Good. Behind you both, Sam hides his own knowing smile. Sam and Dean invite you to stay over at the bunker after the hunt, instead of making the even longer drive home. You're too exhausted to say no. By the time you get to the bunker, you're dead on your feet, practically swaying down the stairs.
I'm so fucking tired.
Come on, stop whining. Dean teases as he helps you down. Sam has dropped your duffel bag on the ground floor and gone on ahead to shower, leaving you and Dean to figure this out. Why don't you just take off the heels? He wryly suggests.
Hell no.
You refuse with a stubborn shake of your head. You don't want to contemplate how much monster guts have glossed the stairs of this bunker via the brothers' boots. Maybe it's a silly reason to suffer, but is it really suffering if you have Dean Winchester escorting you with both hands down the stairs? His hands are warm and you trust the strength of his hold, but when your heel wobbles on the edge of a step, you still go for the railing rather than sink all your weight on Dean. He laughs at you and you maturely stick out a tongue at him.
At this point, it'd be faster if I freaking carried you,
Dean remarks. He reaches for you, but you stop him with a heel in his sternum.
Don't even try, you laugh. I totally got this.
Dean rolls his eyes, but you lower your heeled foot and manage to climb down the last few steps of the rickety staircase. At least, what your exhausted brain thinks is the last one. You almost go ass over tea kettle when you miss the final stair with a yelp, but Dean is there to catch you. His arms are like steel bands around your frame, curving around your lower back and pulling you flush against his chest. You gasp and cling to his arms. When you look up at him with wide eyes, you find his amused face, and maybe something else in his eyes. He tilts his head down at you.
Well, well, look who keeps falling for me,
he remarks. You blush at the flirtatious edge of his tone, the gleam in his green eyes. You take it for amusement only, not realizing that he's barely resisting the urge to claim your lips.
Right. You laugh him off with a pat on his chest.
When was the first time again? You make sure your heels are firmly on the ground before you push away from Dean. As you thought, he doesn't try to keep you. He still looks amused as he lets you go. He flirts with anything, you remind yourself, when disappointment starts to carve a hole in your heart. Don't take it so seriously. You say goodnight before you take up your duffel bag and go to find a free bedroom and a hot shower. All the while, you bite your lip against a deep-seated feeling of uncertainty. Dean watches you go, and you don't see the way his mask of a smile fades into a frown. After a nice hot shower and changing into your pajamas, that moment with Dean has unsettled you enough that you're not quite ready to go to sleep. Maybe you're in the mood for a midnight snack. You take out a couple of supplies from your bag and head over to the kitchen. There you set up your little cafetera coffee press with water and a generous few tablespoons of café Bustelo, grounds of espresso. While that brews on the stove, you make some popcorn in the microwave. You don't realize that the rich smell reaches Dean all the way in his room. He sniffs the air in interest, then in confusion.
She's making coffee at midnight?
He gets up out of bed and pads down to the kitchen where you've taken over. A large bowl of popcorn is ready and waiting for him to snatch a handful while you're checking the little metal carafe you have going on the stove.
What you up to, sweetheart?
He asks. You greet him with a smile. Café con leche, you reply. Coffee with milk, he mentally translates. That much he can work out.
You drink coffee at this time of night?
He asks. My people invented it. I've been inoculated to this stuff since I was 8 years old. You quip. Want some? Believe me, You'll love it.
He shrugs. Sure, but if I end up too wired to fucking sleep, be prepared to suffer with me.
You laugh. I'm sure we'll figure out something to do.
Dean's not sure if you meant that as flirtatious as it sounded, but by your briefly widening eyes and blushing cheeks, maybe you just realized it.
He smirks and draws closer while you break out two mugs from the cabinet.
He notices your chosen pajamas with secret appreciation, a large threadbare journey shirt over spandex shorts.
You fill the little shorts out well, though Dean spots several small holes in the shirt.
He teasingly sticks his finger through one in your short sleeve. Lose a fight with a pair of scissors? He jokes. You shoot him an amused glance over your shoulder.
You are the reigning king of dad jokes. I'll have you know, this is my lucky shirt.
He snorts in response. What makes it lucky? You just bite your lip and focus back on your task at hand. With the coffee done percolating, you measure out two steaming shots of espresso into each mug.
Hey, you brought it up.
Dean reminds you. You sigh, and after you pour in the sugar and the evaporated milk into each mug, you turn around and lean against the counter.
I've never had a bad dream while wearing this shirt to bed, you confess. His teasing gentles at that. When you turn back around to put the finishing touches on what you're doing, Dean's expression becomes more fond as he watches you. You then offer him his Batman mug with a brighter smile.
Buen provecho, you say.
What does that mean?
He asks predictably, taking the mug from you. Enjoy. Like bon appetit, basically.
Ah.
He raises his brows before he takes a sip. Then they raise even higher as he hums in pleasure.
Oh, it's sweet. And strong. Shit.
Very, you say with a chuckle, taking your own sip. You make a sound of delight, complete with a little happy dance shimmy. Almost as good as my grandma makes it.
Dean smiles in amusement at your antics. The two of you sit at the kitchen island, where there are three stools and the bowl of popcorn. The salty snack is just the right balance for the sweet coffee.
She taught you how to make this?
He asks. You nod. Yep. She's an amazing cook, too. Learned everything I know from her.
Might need to sample something of yours sometime.
Dean says, peering at you over his mug. His tone is deceptively light, but you read the double meaning in his eyes. You hide the way your mouth falls open behind your own mug. Instead of answering, you nod and take a delicate sip. Your gaze veers away from his as you blush.
He's in a good mood tonight. You think in bemusement.
So tell me, what are the best curse words in Spanish?
Dean asks.
You have to laugh. Your head ducks as you reach for his arm. His eyes briefly go to your hand, and he smirks.
Of course, that's the first thing you want to know. You tease. You take back your hand and think about his question.
I mean, there are the basics. Cono carajo, like damn it, fucking hell, and so forth.
Come on, you can do better than that,
Dean says.
Well, yeah, you say with a grin. Come mierda is a Cuban fan favorite.
Which means?
Literally, someone who eats shit. You laugh. A stupid asshole, basically.
Dean's grin deepens.
Nice.
The best one of all time is probably... My mom would wash my mouth out with soap for even saying it. You cover your face with both hands, but Dean nudges your elbow.
Come on, give it to me.
He teases. You peek out at him from between your hands. Then you stage whisper to him, Hijo de la gran puta. You say. It rolls off your tongue in such a way that, even though Dean knows it's vulgar in some way, the ease in which you say it raises the hairs on his arm.
I like that, he says.
You giggle at him. You don't even know what the fuck it means.
Don't matter. I just like how it sounds. He says, give me the Google Translate.
You shoot him a narrowed look for that one. It means son of the grand whore, literally the chiefest of them all. The grand poobah of whores.
Dean splutters with laughter. His hand slaps the table and you shush him, reminding him that Sam is probably sleeping by now. It's literally one of the worst things you can say to somebody. You say, though you're also choking on laughter. By the end of it, you and Dean are chortling like fools and getting high on espresso and sugar. You teach him how to roll his R's and, at his request, more slang. You explain how certain Hispanics and Latino cultures use different words for the same thing. At times, very confusing. And how something innocent to an American, like a papaya fruit, means something very different for Cubans. For Dean's part, he's genuinely interested in what you have to teach him. But he also just likes hearing you speak the language. It rolls off your tongue gracefully, effortless and sensuous without you meaning to. He likes it enough that he tells you his honest thoughts.
It all sounds incredibly hot, I'm not gonna lie.
He says with a chuckle. You blush at that, something he finds endearing. You sound like my ex, you say in amusement. He only went out with me to help him with his Spanish. Dean sobers a bit at that.
What?
Yeah, you chuckle dryly. He was trying to land some job as a strip club bouncer, but we were in Miami at the time. They needed someone bilingual. Dean doesn't like the resigned tone of your voice.
Yeah, well, the bouncer?
He remarks, trying for a teasing bump of his hand against yours.
Come on, you should at least be aiming for the owner.
You flash him a brief smile and nod. Ah, so I set my sights too low. Got it. It's then that Dean starts to wonder about the kinds of guys you've gotten with in the past. Not that he has room to judge, but he can see that there was no love lost there for you. Dean has a thought, deep in his bones, that you deserve someone who sees how special you are, how kind, funny, loyal, caring.
Seriously, Dean says, you can do better.
Right, you laugh, but he is not laughing. You raise a brow at him. What? You ask. His lips purse, but he thinks better of what he wants to say.
Nothing. It's none of my business,
he says. You stare back at him and frown thoughtfully. You think you're lucky to get a date, the way you constantly move around. You don't have stability, and even though you try to keep in shape, try to avoid the shittier fast food, it's been a challenge to maintain yourself. You worry that you've gained 5 pounds in diner food alone in the past couple of months. Okay. Mostly, you're happy with your curves. But the way Dean's looking at you now, you can't help a flutter of hope that rises in your chest, making your heart beat faster. Maybe you're finally ready to know how he really sees you. Talk to me, Dean. You nod, and you reach out a hand to grasp his wrist. He looks down at your hand. After a moment, he sighs and lays his own over yours. He meets your gaze.
Look. I think I hear what you're not saying, Dean says, and you're selling yourself short, sweetheart. That's all.
It takes you a moment, but a soft smile spreads across your face. It warms him in a way he doesn't expect, but maybe he should. Biting your lip with a bit of embarrassment, you squeeze his hand before you get up to take the 2 empty mugs with you to the sink.
Qué hombre tan pendejo, hermosa, you mutter. Ni siquiera sabes lo que me haces.
You don't realize that Dean actually hears you. He perks up, standing from his seat and approaching you from behind.
What was that?
He asks. You jump slightly, and a blush burns down your neck as you turn off the sink and spin back around. Dean is there, crossing his arms and staring you down with a raised brow. A hint of a smirk begins to edge around his mouth. What? You ask.
Oh no, you said something just now.
He says, like a dog with a bone, he's not going to let this one go. Your lips threaten to smile, but you shake your head stubbornly. You'll just have to invest in that Duolingo subscription. Dean joins you by the sink. His hand braces on the kitchen counter.
Well, either you're insulting me, or you're flirting with me.
Dean says. His lips then edge into a smirk.
The first one I could forgive, but the second might require some retribution.
Your eyes slowly widen. What? Why?
Dean has to chuckle, because your expression is all but an admission of guilt.
It's too damn adorable.
Because you can't flirt with me without me knowing about it, he says. That's just rude.
His hands brace the counter on either side of you, trapping you in. The only way to get through him is to tell him the truth, or suffer the consequences.
You gaze up at him with wide eyes and a full flush across your tan skin.
Is he actually doing this right now?
Your heart beats loud in your ears like conga drums.
So, which is it, sweetheart?
Dean asks. His playful but singularly focused green-eyed gaze tells you he really does want an answer.
Well, it was kind of both, you say with a shy but mischievous smile.
Dean's smirk deepens. He tucks a finger beneath your chin and lets his thumb brush your full lower lip. Then he leans down to kiss you thoroughly. His plush lips move over yours, hot, wet, and sinfully good. But it's also short, much too short for your liking when he parts from you to gauge your reaction. He seems to like what he finds in your eyes.
Was that the punishment?
You tease, kinda weak.
Dean raises a brow.
Consider it a start.
He pulls you into him by your waist and continues where he left off, with another searing kiss. You hum with pleasure against his lips as your fingers delve into his hair. His hands move down your back, making a shiver of delight course through you. They land on cradling your ass, squeezing and pressing you into him. You gasp into his mouth. You can feel his length already hard against you. That alone trills anticipation down your spine and a dizzy feeling, the fact that your touch is turning him on. You nip at his lower lip in response, licking into his mouth sensuously. It elicits a sound deep in his throat as his touch becomes more demanding. He then bends down to reach behind your thighs, and before you know what's happening, you squeal when he lifts you up on the counter. You grab his shoulders like a cat, clinging to the edge of a bath.
Damn, he's strong.
What's the matter?
He laughs.
I'm just not used to being manhandled, you quip.
These hips don't lie, but they definitely don't fly.
Dean snorts.
Says who?
My ex, for one thing. You joke again. Though it isn't actually a joke.
Dean, again, isn't laughing. His hands aren't large enough to span your thighs, but it's not for lack of trying. His firm touch burning up your parted thighs are distracting, warm over your skin and over your thin shorts. His thumbs dip between your inner thighs, making you breathe a bit more shallowly.
I get the feeling that you've been with some ain't shit guys,
Dean says.
I'd appreciate it if you didn't lump me in with the rest of them.
Your eyes widen. Dean grins down at you and takes the opportunity to kiss you again. His hand disappears in your hair and he presses kisses down your neck. A pleasant tingle breaks out across your skin as you tilt your head for him, giving him access. Your fingers begin toying with his collar and glide down his firm chest. Unlike you, everything about him is firm, you think. But you start to think that he likes your softness, the thickness of your curves. You didn't take him for an ass man, but he seems very happy to get a fistful of it. It's as flattering as it is arousing.
I wanted to get this perfect ass in my hands since the day we met,
he says. His voice is deep, full of grit and desire. But what he says next surprises you even more.
Wanted to ask you out that night,
he confesses. You pause at that. You met Sam and Dean 2 years ago already. The fact that he wanted to ask you out was one thing, but he'd been holding on to this for 2 years? Really? You ask. Dean reads your incredulity, huffing a laugh.
You're really finding that hard to believe right now?
He rocks against your clothed core so you can feel his reaction to you. You instinctively gasp and hold on to him. You slide your arms around his back to keep him close, even though you're blushing. He holds you back, brushing your cheek with his thumb.
Well, why didn't you then? You ask, but he hesitates to answer you. Dean, you press.
It never seemed the right time,
he says.
And to be honest, you didn't seem all that interested.
Until now goes unspoken, but you frown up at him. You don't really believe that, you say. Dean leans back a bit, so you move your hands to his chest, gripping the fabric of his undershirt so he doesn't go too far. He looks down at you, a bit uncertain for the first time. You can't believe that he could possibly be insecure about your interests and affections.
I attract a lot of crap in my life,
he admits.
Shit you want no part of.
You soften further at that. Someone who was just going to hook up with you once and never call you again didn't consider things like that. You grab onto the lapels of his plaid shirt and press a soft kiss to his jaw. Well, that's a stupid reason, you say. Is this the real reason he only calls you when he really needs the help? Maybe it's his convoluted way of protecting you, while maybe still wanting to see you.
It's really not.
Dean shakes his head.
Truth be told, I'm no good for you either.
That disheartens you. You're in this job, too, and while you know that Sam and Dean are often at the center of a lot of apocalypse-level shit, you still don't think it's an excuse to keep both you and Dean from possibly being happy. His gaze is steady until it starts to lower away from you. You take his face in your hands, picking him back up to meet your eyes. Your thumbs caress the prickly stubble along his cheeks. Apparently, I get with a lot of ain't shit guys, you reply. But you're definitely not one of them, Dean. He flickers at a smile, but he still isn't convinced you two should do this after all. So it's up to you, you realize. You bring him down to you for a kiss. It's slow at first. You ply him with short, sweet presses of your lips to his. But then you both inhale as you deepen the kiss, tilting your head and prying his lips with your tongue. He can't help but welcome you in, and he takes you back into his arms. You smile against his lips, letting your hands run down his chest and under the top layer of plaid. He shrugs out of it, then the undershirt as you help him tug it up. It falls in a heap on the floor, followed closely by your hole-ridden journey shirt, then your little shorts. Dean takes in the sight of your flushed skin, the rise and fall of your breasts, and even the hesitant downturn of your lips. You're a bit self-conscious, bared for him for the first time, but he doesn't give you a reason to have any reservations. His hands cup your breasts, squeezing and kneading, rolling his thumbs over the hardening buds. You let out a shaky breath against his lips, and you veer away from his mouth to burn a hot, wet trail down his neck. His voice rumbles, and you smile, nipping playfully and touching him wherever you see fit.
Tell me what you said before.
He rasps into your ear. You remain playfully tight-lipped as you continue to shower his bare skin with affection. But your breath hitches when a hand leaves your breast to once again slide up the inside of your thigh.
You're so fucking sexy, you know that?
He says.
That's why I need you to tell me.
You lean close to his ear and whisper. Nope. Dean's chuckle shakes his frame. His other hand cups your cheek, slipping into your hair. You hold him to you, and for the first time, it's skin to skin, with your breast pressing against his chest.
All right. You sure I can't convince you?
He asks. There's a note of warning that you're just a bit too slow to detect. His fingers swiftly bypass your panties, pushing them aside so he can tease the seam of your lips. You bite your lip and lean back enough to see his face, to see the mischievous edge of his smirk. You inhale sharply when two of his fingers slip in and probe in your wet heat, but don't get further than your entrance.
Dean, you whine, please. Tell me, he insists, what you said.
His lips graze your cheek, down the column of your neck. You feel the rasp of his stubble against your skin. Meanwhile, your pussy is pulsing with need, all but chasing his fingers that do no more than brush and tease. Your nails accidentally bite into his shoulders in frustration. He sucks in a pained breath. You gasp and apologize, soothing over his skin. Dean just laughs and noses along your throat. He knows exactly what you need, but he wants to win the game. At this point, you just want him. So finally, you admit it. You confess into his ear the things you whispered in your mother tongue.
"I said, you dumb, beautiful man," you say, smiling with your cheek pressed against his. "You don't even know what you do to me."
Dean grins into your neck. You really don't realize it, but to him, your voice is rich as black velvet and sexy as hell. Doesn't matter what language you're speaking. Two of his fingers sink deeply into your pussy. You whimper, squeezing gratefully around his hand.
"Please, Dean."
"I got you, baby. Just relax,"
he says with a grin. He explores your inner channel and begins to discover what you respond to, what angles make you grip onto him tighter, make your voice keen higher, especially when his thumb circles over your clit. You cling to him for dear life, gripping his hair, uttering encouragements, not all of them in English, and finally praises when that hot coil within you snaps and releases. Dean holds you while you come over his hand. You're squeezing the shit out of him, really, in every way possible. But when that dam breaks, all you can do is lean against him and try to catch your breath.
"You okay, sweetheart?"
He chuckles. He rubs your back, pets your hair. You trail. You lean back and take his smug face in your hands and you kiss him. You put into that gesture what your voice fails to confess. And when both of you run out of breath, Dean pulls back just enough to see your eyes.
"We're not done, by any damn means,"
he says. That coffee still has him wired, and at this point, his cock is throbbing with need.
"But let's head over to my room."
"Yeah, I think I need to help you with this before you implode."
You tease him with a gentle hand along his rock-hard length. He utters a strained sound that makes you sympathetic. But before anything else, you caress his cheek fondly. Tonight matters to you, and you think it matters to him, too. Dean flashes you a rare, boyish grin that has you smiling even harder.
"Damn it, you might just love this man."
He helps you down from the counter, though his arms stay wrapped around you because of your jelly legs. His resolution is to pick you up over his shoulder.
"Let's fly, baby."
With a swift spank of your ass, he carries you the rest of the way to his room. You squeal and try to stifle your giggles all the way there. One thing's for sure, Sam is going to hate you both in the morning.